Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of The Beast, which is actually not technically a Goosebumps book, but it is by R.L. Stine, and it was, let's see, what year is this? Looks like 1994? Anyway, this podcast, even though it's not marked, yeah, it's 94, it's not marked as explicit on iTunes, it is definitely explicit, so, you know, if you're young, if you're with children for some reason, just turn it off. I don't want to get grief, you know? I'm not Charlie Brown, you know? I don't think grief's good. I hate myself. Anyway, I'm Dune. I'm reading this one because Giovanni told me to, and I do what he says. How can you reach me? I'm at Twitter, at Dune. Just D-U-N-E, just four letters, that's easy. You can email me at dune@dunereadsgoosebumps.com. You can join the old Facebook page at facebook.com/dunereadsgoosebumps, which is probably the best bet for reaching things and getting updates on shit. Anyway, drinking a High Life, reading this one from bed, which I've never done before. So I got the laptop going, the mic's laying on the bed, I'm reading the actual book, which, that's a Star Trek advertisement in the beginning, and someone crossed out the, barcode and wrote scary. Uh-oh. Alright, The Beast by R.L. Stine. To Joe, who seldom gets off the track, because it's like a roller coaster. It's good stuff. Chapter 1. I shut my eyes as a shrill scream escaped my throat. Bouncing hard, I opened them in time to see the trees fly by in a jarring blur. Whoa! I was tossed forward as I rolled straight down into the darkness. A sudden spin made me cry out again. The car tilted hard to the left, and I slammed into my cousin, Ashley Franks. She was screaming, too. Her blonde hair flew out wildly behind her head. Her long, flowing sensual hair. Oh, if you weren't my cousin! Damn you, Ashley Franks! We swooped down once more, a sharp dip. I yelped in surprise as I felt myself fly up from the seat. The trees whirred by, shadowy in the dark night light. The car clattered noisily as he began to climb again. This is great! I screamed to Ashley. Her face was bright red. Her blue eyes were wide, staring up to the top of the track. She grinned at me and started to reply, but instead, she let out a startled whoop as our car plunged down, down, down with a deafening roar. The wind battered my face. I gripped the bar tightly with both hands, down, down, and into total darkness. Huh? A tunnel. We whirred through the tunnel, then back into the dim light, filtering through the dark, leafy trees. Then, a jolting turn pushed me into Ashley again. My cousin was screaming too hard to notice. Another tunnel, another climb, another swooping, roaring spin that made our car squeal. And then, we slowed to a stop. Over my thudding heartbeat, I could hear screams and laughter behind us. Ashley and I had been riding in the front car. I turned to her. She was still breathing hard. Her hair was wild, standing almost straight up. She was trying to brush it down with both hands. You were right, James, she exclaimed. The Beast, registered trademark, is awesome. It's the best, I told you, I cried breathlessly. I climbed out of the roller coaster onto a platform. Hey, I'm dizzy. Just really quick, is The Beast like a tie-in to an actual roller coaster, seeing as how it had a copyrighted logo on there? Was that like a... Like, I remember in the early 80s when Marvel put out the superhero Dazzler, who, I guess her power was just disco. I read those books and still can't really figure it out. But she was supposed to be a tie-in with an actual artist, and the actual artist never got signed to something with a record label. So I'm wondering if this is a similar situation. Also, I haven't had a mistake yet, which is surprising, seeing as how I'm not used to reading the actual book format. You're always dizzy, Ashley teased, following me out. She staggered for a few steps, then grabbed my shoulder. She laughed. Whoa, I'm a little dizzy too, I guess. We staggered off the platform and followed the exit path. I turned back to stare at the enormous roller coaster, the wooden tracks rising up darker even than the night sky. My heart was still racing. As Ashley and I walked, we were surrounded by laughing, shouting voices. I thought the ride was over, Ashley said, still trying to untangle her hair. But then we started to climb again. That has to be the longest roller coaster ride anywhere, I exclaimed. Other roller coasters last only a minute or two, but this one takes over 4 minutes. I'm an expert on roller coasters. I ride them whenever I can. And I never ride just once. I always go back and ride again and again. The third time is usually the best. But that by that time... there's my fucking up. This is where it begins. By that time, your screaming muscles are limbering up and you can howl like a pro all the way. I'd been to Paramount Kings Island twice before. And I had ridden the Beast at least a half dozen times, but that was Ashley's first time. She's 12 and I'm 12, but I think I look older. I have a couple pubes, too. She's about 4 inches shorter than me, even with all that wild blonde hair. She's skinny, too. I guess she's kind of pretty. She has great blue eyes and a nice smile. If only... People always tease me because I don't smile much. I've got dark brown hair and dark eyes, and I just look serious, that's all. Ashley and I don't get to see each other very often. Why are they keeping us apart? Our families live about 300 miles apart, but when we do, we get along pretty well. Some say too well. We like to tease each other and get on each other's cases and get on each other. Sometimes we play pretty mean tricks on one another, but I guess that's normal. We stopped at a food stand and bought sodas. All that screaming can make you thirsty. After gulping down half of her cup of soda, Ashley glanced up at the dark sky. A pale half moon had risen above the trees. It's getting pretty late, she said. Past your bedtime, James. Ha ha, I replied, rolling my eyes. She took another long gulp from her cup. Some of it trickled onto the front sleeve to the front of her sleeveless blue t-shirt. But she didn't notice. She pushed her hair off her forehead with her free hand. "What do you want to do now?" I asked. We had been at the park since early afternoon. We had already been on most of the other roller coasters. "Let's ride the Beast again," Ashley cried. Her eyes lit up as an excited grin crossed her face. "Come on!" "The line is pretty long," I told her, motioning to it. I glanced at my watch. "And the park is going to close soon. Come on!" she cried, not listening to me. She tugged at the sleeve of my t-shirt. "Hurry!" I pulled back. "No, really. This isn't the time, Ashley," I insisted. "Please? Let's just try, okay?" she begged, tugging at me. "Let's get in line again, please?" "Well, okay," I agreed. And that was when all the trouble began. Alright, I gotta save the file. I was just about to check the file of what I've done so far and be like, I need to check on the acoustics in here. I haven't recorded in this room before, and it seems to be kind of echoey. Then I realized, wait, I record in the fucking bathtub. What the fuck? When do I care about shit like that? Oh, this is recorded on New Year's Day, January 1st, 2012. Chapter 2! Ashley and I jogged side by side to the end of the line. It stretched along a low wall in front of a line of trees. We were breathing hard by the time we got there. Up ahead, we could hear the clatter of roller coaster cars, and we could hear kids screaming their heads off, but we couldn't see them. The Beast stretches off into the woods. It's almost entirely hidden from view. We stepped up behind two teenage boys. They both had long black hair. One of them wore a Cincinnati Reds cap. The other one, with the cap, shoved the other one playfully against the wall. Then they both laughed. A blue-uniformed guard stepped up suddenly behind Ashley and me. She set down a sign that said, "Line closed." "We just made it!" Ashley cried happily. "We're the last ones!" I glanced at my watch. I was a little worried about the time. I was supposed to call my mom when we were ready to be picked up. I know even though I gave the warning about not being underage, I know there are underage people here. Does that just make no sense to you people when they're like, I had to call my mom at this time. I need to get to a payphone. Like, you have no memory of that at all. Forget it. But we were so busy riding all the roller coasters, I'd completely forgotten about calling. We have to phone her as soon as the ride is over, I told myself. A cool breeze blew over us. I could hear her. I could hear high-pitched screams coming from the roller coaster up ahead. This is great, Ashley cried. I can't believe that we're the last ones in line. Yeah, we just made it, I said. I've been the last one on Pirates of the Caribbean. It's exciting! The two guys ahead of us were goofing around. Hey, Gary, give me my hat! Who's gonna make me? They started wrestling for the hat, laughing and shoving each other. The one named Gary bumped Ashley hard. Hey! She cried out angrily. Sorry, he said, grinning at her. He pointed to his friend. Ernie pushed me. Ernie grabbed the Reds cap from Gary and pulled it over his dark hair. You ever ride the Beast before? He asked Ashley. Sure, about 100 times, Ashley lied. You ever sit in the front seat? Gary asked. Lots of times, Ashley told him. Were you scared? Gary asked, grinning at me. No way, I told him. You know, the Beast is haunted, Ernie said, adjusting his cap. His grin faded. Huh? I stared back at him, trying to get the joke. Really? He insisted. It's haunted. Everyone knows that, his friend chimed in. Give us a break, Ashley said, rolling her eyes. It was on the news, Gary told her. On TV? I saw it. There's a ghost, Ernie said. Late at night, after the park closes, he rides the Beast again and again. Now, I'm just turning the page over here to the cover so I can explain the ghost, you know? The ghost, he appears to be shirtless. That's creepy, but he has a long kind of hobo beard, and he has hair like a troll doll, and the beard is kind of like Gimli. And, his face looks like, who's the actor that played Hellboy? That really just ugly dude? Whatever. Oh, sure, I replied sarcastically. Hey, we're not little kids, you know? I'm not joking, Ernie said, his expression serious. It was on the news, really. Like, the small town news is like, and coming up in the next hour, a ghost that rides a roller coaster, and a squirrel being pulled around looking like he's water skiing. It was on the news, really, Gary added. The ghost rides late at night. The security guards, they hear the clatter of the wheels. But when they run to check it out, none of the cars has moved. None of the cars has moved. Wouldn't it be cars have R.L. Stone? It's a total mystery, Ernie said, adjusting his cap again. No way, I cried. There's no ghost. But at that moment, I felt icy fingers close around the back of my neck. Miller High Life, Chapter 3. Chapter 3. I let out a frightened yelp before I realized that Ashley had grabbed the back of my neck. Everyone laughed. Ashley laughed hardest of all. She thought it was a real riot. How do you get such cold hands? I demanded angrily. She held up her cup of soda. Gotcha, she cried. She could be a real pain sometimes. I could feel myself blushing. Luckily, the line had started to move and the two teenage guys turned away. Do you think that there's really a ghost that rides the Beast? Ashley whispered as we followed the line forward. Of course not, I replied angrily. What do you think this is? Ancient Aliens on the History Channel? Up top. That was a reference. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's just me and the dog. And he is angry that he can't sleep. Of course not, I replied angrily. Do you think that there's really a tooth fairy? You mean there isn't? She cried, acting startled. Then how do those quarters get under my pillow when I lose a tooth? She laughed, but her expression quickly became serious. Those two boys believe in the ghost, she whispered. They weren't kidding. There's no ghost, I insisted. But they saw it on the news, she replied. We stepped onto the platform. The breeze felt cool and damp. I could still feel Ashley's cold fingers on the back of my neck. I shivered. Presumably with lust. I glanced at my watch again. Nearly 11 o'clock. I had promised my mom I would call before 10. How could I have forgotten? We didn't call. Everyone will be furious, I muttered. Don't be such a nervous nut, Ashley replied. I'm not a nervous nut, I insisted. I just come quick. Don't call me a nervous nut. You're a nervous nut, she repeated. I tugged her blonde hair harder. She punched my shoulder. I grabbed two of her fingers and stretched them until they cracked. She punched me harder. Luckily, the line moved forward before we got out of control. A few minutes later, we were eagerly scrambling into a car. We were the last ones on the beast. This time, we were in the middle row of the last car. When we were all on board, the heavy car began to roll up, up the steep track. I knew what was ahead. I knew what would happen as soon as we reached the top, and I couldn't wait. I took a deep breath and prepared to start screaming. The ride was even more awesome the second time. We swooped and swirled through the dark trees. The tunnels whirred around us. Then we climbed into the purple sky and back down into the woods. I felt as if we were on some kind of spaceship hurtling into darkest space. Suddenly, I could hear the screams and happy cries of the others. Suddenly, I could not hear the screams and happy cries of the others. I couldn't see Ashley beside me or the kids in the seat in front of us. I was in my own world, a world of whirling shadows, a world of speed and wind. When the car jolted to a stop, I groaned in disappointment. I didn't want to ride to the end. I wanted to keep flying, soaring through the trees. God damn it, I gotta change positions. Soaring through the trees. The cold wind rushed against my face. I just sat there for a long while with my eyes shut. Even though we had stopped, I could still feel the movement of the car. Still feel the jarring turns, the swooping slides, the steep climbs. I don't know how long I sat there. Probably just a few seconds. Maybe it was close to a minute. Then I opened my eyes and climbed out. Wasn't that excellent? I turned to ask Ashley. Wasn't that the best? I gasped when I realized she was gone. I like reading them like this. This isn't too bad. I can read the actual book and lay in bed. I feel like I'm emoting, even though I'm away from the mic a little bit more. I usually hold it up, you know? Yep. Up.
Chapter 4.
Ashley? I gazed up and down the platform. People were hurrying to the exit, laughing and shouting. I didn't see her anywhere. Ashley? I turned back to the roller coaster car. Was she still there? No. She had somehow managed to climb out on the other side of the car. No, that was impossible. So where the fuck was she? Ashley? I cupped my hands around my mouth and shouted. My voice came out kind of trembly. I was still shaking from the ride. She must have hurried to the exit, I decided. She would be waiting for me outside the gate. My heart was still pounding, my knees were a little wobbly as I started jogging down the platform and out of the roller coaster. My shadow stretched long and dark in front of me as I ran. The overhead lights flickered on and off. A woman's voice suddenly blared out from a nearby loudspeaker. "Paramount's King's Island is now closed," she announced. "Please make your way to the front exit." The announcement repeated a few times as the overhead lights continued to signal everyone to leave.
You think people would listen to me read Goosebumps if I had a southern accent? Or would it just be irritating? I always feel bad about the southern accent because that's just like the voice you do when pretending to be stupid. Like, yah, bah, bang, it ain't bang. I don't know. I don't know why I just thought of that.
Ashley, I stopped in front of the beast exit, searching the shadows for her. No sign of her.
Do you think people would listen to this if I could actually read and were literate and didn't stumble all the time and wasn't just a disgusting drunken mess?
No sign of her. I made my way past a t-shirt and souvenir stand, closed now for the night. Several yards up ahead, I saw Gary and Ernie bumping each other as they made their way toward the front of the park. I stopped and made a full circle, turning slowly, studying each person I saw, searching for Ashley. But she had totally disappeared. I don't believe this shit, I muttered out loud. How could she do this to me? If this is some kind of joke, I thought, I'll pound her. I really will.
I'll pound her either way. Pound myself thinking about her.
The lights flickered one last time, then remained dim. The announcement about the park being closed repeated a few more times. We've got to get out of here, I told myself. But where was Ashley? Where?
The ghost got her.
That thought popped into my head. The ghost that haunts the beast grabbed her during the ride. I was so angry at Ashley, I almost wished it were true. But of course, it was a stupid thought. Without realizing it, I had started to walk toward the front of the park. I found myself in a large group of people who had just come off the Vortex, the roller coaster next to the beast. The Vortex was a wild ride. It swirled you upside down about 6 times. At least I think it was 6 times. After a few spins, I lost count. Ashley and I had ridden the Vortex right after dinner. Not exactly the best timing, but our stomachs survived.
I get crazy motion sickness. This would be a bad experience for me. I couldn't hang out with Ashley.
Except maybe the ride had scrambled Ashley's brain, I thought angrily. What else could explain her disappearing like this? I'll wait for her at the front gate, I decided. She's bound to show up there sooner or later. Sooner, I hoped. I remembered there was a row of payphones near the ticket booths. Maybe that was where Ashley had headed. I could call my mom from there. I made my way down International Street, the broad walkway at the front of the park. The long, reflecting pond in the center of the street lay dark and still. The fountains that sent up tall geysers of water during the day had all been turned off. How could she just disappear? I asked myself. I was growing angrier and angrier. What is her problem? It felt strange walking through the dim light, stepping through the shifting shadows. The enormous park had been so bright and noisy. Now it was nearly dark and empty. On the other side of the gate, car headlights rolled past, casting bright spotlights on hundreds of people heading to their cars. I jogged to the row of telephones, my heart pounding. My eyes searched the shadows, darting rapidly over the crowd. No sign of my cousin. I had a heavy feeling in the pit of my stomach, like a rock holding me down. I stopped a few yards from the payphones. I looked up. I took a deep breath and held it, waiting for the heavy feeling to fade away. "Ashley, where are you?" I murmured. Why wasn't she waiting for me at the gate? Why wasn't she standing by the payphones? Taking another deep breath, I watched the last stragglers head out into the parking lot. The park grew even more silent. The loudest sounds were the hum of car engines as they pulled away. The heavy feeling in my stomach didn't go away. I knew it wouldn't. I was worried. I always get that heavy feeling when I was worried. Really worried. Something must have happened to Ashley. Something bad. She wouldn't just disappear. Even Ashley wouldn't play a dumb joke like that. A cold shiver ran down my back. Yes, I decided, trying to force back my panic. Something has happened to Ashley. But what?
Chapter 5.
All kinds of crazy thoughts roared into my head. Without realizing it, I started back into the park. I hurried past the long, reflecting pool, a tall replica of the Eiffel Tower stood at the far end, black against the starless purple sky. The electric lights had all been dimmed. A damp mist had lowered over the park. I felt as if I were moving through a cloud. It was like a dream, swirling shadows in the thickening mist, dim yellow light casting looming, eerie forms. No one in sight.
That was one of those weird Goosebumps sections. I guess this isn't technically Goosebumps, but one of those weird sections he puts in where it's just like, and here's a random poem.
The huge park stretched out on all sides of me, deserted. The stores and restaurants dark and empty. Ashley? Her name escaped from my throat. My voice came out shaky and high. This is a dream, I told myself. This has to be a dream. And I'm gonna wake up and find that I haven't really lost my cousin. I shook my head, hard, trying to shake the nightmare away. But it wasn't a dream. I had run halfway to the tall, dark tower before I stopped. Why was I doing this? Where did I think I was going? My heart was thudding in my chest. The heavy rock in my stomach grew even heavier. I have to get back to the front gate, I told myself. I have to call home. I have to... Hey, James! I heard the familiar voice, but staring into the heavy mist, I saw no one. James! I spun around and was surprised to see Ashley come running from the other side of the darkened pastry shop. The end.
No, it's not the end. I was just fucking with you.
In the pale light through the heavy fog, she looked like a ghost, her bare arms white, her blonde hair fanned out behind her. She stopped a few feet in front of me, breathing hard. Where were you? She cried breathlessly. Huh? My mouth opened. Where were you? She repeated angrily. Where were you? you?" I cried shrilly. "I got off the roller coaster and you were gone." "No, you were gone," she insisted. She shoved me hard with both hands. "What a jerk! You're the jerk," I cried, stumbling backward. I was so angry, I moved forward to shove her back. Then, all at once, I realized how funny the whole thing was. "I was searching for you, and you were searching for me," I exclaimed, laughing. "This is a story we'll tell our grandkids. Our weird, flipper-handed, water-headed grandkids." "It's not funny," Ashley cried. I got off the beast, and I started for the exit. I glanced back to make sure you weren't there, so I thought you'd gotten off ahead of me. I started running to catch up to you, but... Her voice trailed off. She took a deep breath. "I wasn't ahead of you. I was behind you," I explained. "I got turned around. I thought I was heading toward the front gate," Ashley continued, "but I ended up at the vortex." By the time I got back in the right direction, "Let's get out of here," I cried. We began running to the main gate, our sneakers thudding on the pavement. "The park is so weird looking," Ashley cried as we ran. She was right. The fog had grown even heavier, thicker. The dimmed light from the overhead landed at strange angles. It got tangled in the mist, made the ground appear to shimmer in smoke. It's really hard to see," I called to her. I was staring straight ahead, but I couldn't see the front gates through the fog. Glancing down, I saw my shadow had completely disappeared. We moved quickly, silently, through the fog. Past the dark and still reflecting pool, we ran faster when the front gate came into view. The heaviness of my stomach had vanished, replaced by a sharp ache in my side as I ran. "Is it on your right side? It's probably your liver. Mine hurts all the time, too." "Finally!" Ashley cried. She reached the exit first. She gripped the bars of the gate and pulled. It didn't budge. She pulled again. Then she tried pushing. like the Far Sight comic. When she turned back to me, her expression revealed her panic. "James, we're locked in!" Ashley cried. New High Life Chapter 6. Hey, it's chapter 6 of The Beast, and like 6 is the number of the beast, but this is the number of the chapter in The Beast, and the book is called The Beast, and like religious stuff with like those Christian people that believe in that space wizard, the 6 is like, it's like the number of the beast when you put 3 of them forget it. The next gate was locked too, and so was the next. We ran from gate to gate trying to find one unlocked, but the entire row of metal exit gates was locked. The vast parking lot had become empty and dark. Far in the distance, I could see the red taillights of the last cars. "Hey, let us out!" Ashley cried. But there was no one to hear her. The fog closed in on us, swirled around us, blanketed us in darkness. I knew there had to be security guards somewhere nearby, but the fog had become so thick it was hard to see even a few feet in any direction. Ashley stepped close beside me. Her hair fell tangles over her forehead. She rubbed her bare arms, trying to warm them in the wet, cold fog. "Your mom is going to have a cow," she cried unhappily. "My mom, of course." In all the confusion, I had forgotten about calling. The payphones were right behind us. All we had to do was call my mom and she'd come rescue us. "No problem." "The phones, come on," I cried. I turned and started to make my way through the swirling fog to the phones. "Have you got a quarter?" I called back to her. She searched the pockets of her baggy shorts. "Yes, here. Here is the quarter." I took the quarter from her and stepped up to the phone booth. I lifted the receiver and started to drop the quarter into the slot. Suddenly, a hand grabbed my wrist. "Don't!" Ashley said softly. I spun around, startled. "What's your problem?" I demanded. "Don't call," Ashley repeated, her eyes lighting up excitedly. She still hadn't let go of my wrist. "Huh? What are you talking about?" I asked. "You want to get out of here, don't you?" She shook her head, a mischievous grin over her face. "No," she whispered. Then she grabbed the quarter out of my fingers. "No!" I held out my hand. "Ashley, give me back the quarter." "You're not funny." Grinning at me, she backed away. She dropped the coin back into the pocket of her shorts. "Let's stay, James," she pleaded. "Let's stay in the park all night." I gaped at her. My mouth dropped open. "Huh? Are you for real?"
"Antoine Dotson."
"Come on, it'll be cool," she exclaimed. She tried to tug me away from the phones, but I pulled out of her grasp.
"We'll get caught," I told her. "We'll get in big trouble."
"We'll hide," she replied. "It'll be a real adventure."
"I don't like adventure." "Meh,"
I confessed. "There's security guards all over this place. We'll get caught, Ashley. Give me the quarter." I reached out for it, but she backed away, shaking her head, flashing me that devilish grin. I melted. "Oh, Ashley, what a pain." "You're crazy," I told her. "You're no fun," she replied. "It's cold and foggy. It's creepy here at night," I said. "Where's the fun part?"
"I want to see the ghost," she confessed. So that was it. Oh, Franklin finally fell asleep. You guys can stop worrying. Except for I said his name and now his eyes are open.
Sorry, bud. Love you, kiddo.
"Ashley, you didn't believe that dumb story about some ghost riding the beast at night. Those guys were just goofing," I told her. "No, they weren't. They were serious," she insisted. "Ashley, there's no ghost," I said firmly. "Now, if you won't give me the quarter, I'll call home collect. And you know how much I hate Carrot Top." I started back toward the phones. "Prove there's no ghost," she called after me. I turned around. "What do you mean, prove it? Prove it," she repeated. Oh, wow, this is the arguing with Christians kind of thing, where I think the burden of proof is on her and the ghost, you know? He doesn't have to prove that there isn't a ghost. No? Okay. "Prove it," she repeated, tossing her hair back over her shoulders. "Let's go watch. Let's see if anything happens."
"Ashley," I moaned, "don't be a jerk."
"I'll bet you $10, she said. "That's 40 quarters.
"Huh?"
She caught me off guard. "You'll bet me $10 what? "That the ghost comes out," she replied, her eyes wide, challenging me. "If it doesn't appear, I'll give you $10. It was a stupid bribe, but Ashley knew I could never turn down a bet. After all, I am Jewish. It's a real weakness. I once had to stand on my head and whistle, "Oh, Susanna," on the beach in front of a crowd of girls for 10 minutes just because I bet my older brother I could. I was so embarrassed. You'd think I'd learned my lesson, but I never did. "Okay, it's a bet," I told Ashley. I couldn't believe I was agreeing. I knew we could get into major trouble if a security guard found us. And what about our parents? Ashley had all that figured out. She reached into her pocket and pulled out the quarter. "Here, call your mom and tell her we're staying at one of your friends' houses tonight. Tell her we met him here and his parents drove us home," she said, tossing me the quarter. I missed and it hit the ground. I bent down and grabbed it quickly before it rolled away in the heavy darkness.
"Clever," I said.
Very clever.
Why was I going along with this? Just to win $10? I knew it was a horrible idea. I had that feeling in my stomach again. Diarrhea. Why was I going to spend the night in a foggy park?
When you're sitting in a park and you feel something shark, diarrhea. Diarrhea.
Hanging out, riding, and waiting for a ghost ride to... for a ghost to ride the beast.
Huh.
When you're riding on the beast and you feel something release, diarrhea.
Diarrhea. Oh, God, I need to start up that Twitter again. I have a Twitter that's just twitter.com/diarrhea song. That is pretty much as advanced as I got artistically. That's why I read Goosebumps and make dick jokes. I just can't appreciate real art.
Because of a $10 bet? I guess I was doing it so Ashley wouldn't call me a jerk again. I mean, that's a pretty good reason, isn't it? I made my call. It seemed to go okay. My mom was annoyed that we didn't call when we were supposed to, but she was tired and probably drunk and didn't ask too many questions. Then, huddling close, we made our way through the dimly lit park toward the woods that hid the beast. The fog swirled around us. The soft light got caught up in the fog and barely made it to the ground. I gazed around in the dark shops and restaurants, the empty game booths, closed and silent. It was all so eerie, and the heavy fog made it even more dreamlike and unreal. "This is creepy," I whispered. "Too creepy." "It's exciting," Ashley corrected me. "It's the perfect night for a ghost to come out, don't you think?"
"Yeah, Perfect, I muttered. I didn't believe in ghosts, and I didn't think Ashley did either. But Ashley believed in adventure, in a big way. I always thought it was just a stage she was going through, but I guess she hadn't made it through yet. We were passing a frozen lemonade stand. There's always money in the frozen lemonade stand. Its window closed when we heard footsteps nearby. Quick, over here, Ashley whispered. She grabbed my arm and pulled me behind a tall shrub beside the lemonade stand. But she was too late. A blue uniformed security guard moved quickly out of the fog. He was in front of us before I could duck behind the shrub. Hey, caught you, he shouted. I'm gonna take a break. Chapter 7. This is chapter 7. With a silent gasp, I dropped to my knees behind the shrub. Ashley huddled beside me. The security guard laughed as he stepped forward.
We're in major trouble now, I thought.
Then I heard another laugh. Caught you, the security guard repeated, peering over the top of the bush. I saw two blue uniformed guards, both tall and powerful looking. The guard stepped right in front of Ashley and me to greet his friend.
Just taking a breather, the second guard said. Some fog, huh?
Yeah, my flashlight hardly cuts through it, the first man replied.
Weird.
Behind the pine shrub, Ashley and I grinned at each other. We realized the guard hadn't even seen us. I had been holding my breath the whole time. Now I let it out in a long whoosh and started breathing normally again.
Where are you tonight?
Yeah, the first guard asked.
Rivertown, his friend replied. It'll be a quiet night. Unless there's a Rivertown ransom.
Good one, Dune. Then they I need to get back on track. I lost it. They chatted for a little while longer. I couldn't hear what they were saying. I practically jumped out of the bush when Ashley tapped my shoulder. I spun around angrily. Why did she have to scare me like that? Come on, she whispered.
We'll be late.
Late? Late for what? I shook my head and pointed to the two guards, who were still chatting away.
They won't see us, Ashley whispered.
It's too foggy and dark. She yanked on my arm so hard she nearly knocked me over.
Stop pulling me, I protested in a loud whisper.
But I obediently climbed to my feet. Ducking low, I began to follow her. A row of low bushes and trees followed the path. We stayed behind them as we tiptoed away. I could still hear the two guards talking somewhere behind us now. A sudden gust of wind made the bushes shiver. My heart was pounding in my chest. My legs felt as if they weighed 1,000 pounds. My sneakers sank into the wet grass. The bushes shook again. The trees began to whisper. Wisps of fog swirled just above our heads.
Hurry, Ashley urged a few yards ahead of me.
Yards? I began to feel a little better, a little more relaxed. That had been a close call, but we were getting away from the guards. Then I tripped over something hard, a low metal fence. I cried out in surprise as I fell onto the pavement. The fence clattered loudly beneath me. I landed hard on my elbows and knees.
Hey!
Both security guards shouted at once. I frantically tried to scramble to my feet, but this time I knew we were really caught. I really hope the next two chapters aren't just him going, and we weren't caught. All these chapters have like a bad tribal tattoo symbol underneath the number. It just says 8, and then it has like a squiggle that says like, I like going to the gym.
Chapter 8, I like going to the gym, that's a lie.
I struggled to my feet. Both knees throbbed with pain as I started to run, stumbling, staggering forward. I could hear the startled shouts of the guards close behind me. White beams of light from their flashlights bobbed along the path. I dived over a clump of tall flowers and started running across the grass. Through the fog, I caught glimpses of Ashley up ahead, running at full speed, her arms thrashing the air as she moved, almost as if she were swimming through the misty darkness.
Misty darkness sounds like a good black porn star name.
Hey, stop! The guard shout rang out from the path. I don't think that's a guard voice. Let me do that again.
Hey, stop!
The guard shout rang out from the path. The sharp voice cut through me like a saw's blade. I uttered a frightened gasp and somehow kept running. My sneakers squished over the soft ground. I could hear the two guards close behind me, their flashlights darting wildly over the bushes as they ran. Suddenly, I found myself running between tall trees. We were in the woods now. I followed the crunch of Ashley's sneakers somewhere
Somewhere, up ahead, the fog grew thicker, wetter. Beads of cold water ran down my face. I was gasping for breath. I tried to ignore the sharp pain in my side, but it forced me to slow down. Ashley had stopped. I caught up with her. She had her back against the tree. She was bent forward, hands pressed on her knees, trying to catch her breath. I stopped in front of her and rubbed my sides, trying to rub the pain away. "Nice move, Ace," she whispered, making a face at me. "I couldn't help it. I tripped," I whispered back. We both listened hard. We couldn't hear the guards. Off to the right, I could see two flickering beams of light. The light appeared to be moving in the other direction. I think we lost them," I whispered. My throat felt dry as cotton. I could barely choke out the words. We stood watching the lights until they disappeared into the darkness. A cold chill ran down my back. My sneakers were soaked. The bottoms of my jeans were wet, too. "What are we doing here?" I asked Ashley barely. "We have a bet, remember?" she replied. She stepped away from the tree. "Come on, this is fun." "Fun? Fun?" I cried, hurrying to keep up with her as she slipped quickly through the trees. "So far, Ashley, I am not having fun." A few minutes later, the trees ended and we found ourselves in a flat clearing. I gazed around, struggling to see through the fog. The sky seemed to grow darker. The only sound was the chirping of crickets in the trees. "Now we're really lost," I grumbled, shoving my hands into my jeans pockets. "No, we're not," Ashley replied quickly. "Huh? Then where are we?" I demanded. "Look," she said. She pointed straight ahead. I suddenly realized it wasn't the black sky I'd been staring at. It was the beast. It rose up in front of us, blacker than night, blacker than Wesley Snipes. The roller coaster hovered over the woods like an enormous creature ready to pounce. Ashley and I stood staring up at the dark tracks for a long time, black against the fog-covered sky. The tracks stretched up like a mountain. They curved away. "Cool," Ashley murmured. "Let's go." We crossed the clearing, ducked through an opening in the wood fence, and stepped onto the pavement. Tall spotlights overhead cast dim light over the area. I realized we were standing where the lines formed for the beast. Staying in the shadow of the fence, we searched for security guards. None around. Then we went running up the ramp onto the platform. "This is totally weird," I exclaimed. It had been so crowded an hour earlier, filled with laughing, shouting, screaming people. And now it stood before us, so empty, so silent. "Yeah, weird," Ashley agreed. Her eyes flashed excitedly. We followed the platform to the front, our eyes searching the empty tracks. The roller coaster cars stood at the far end. They looked bigger without people in them. A gust of wind rolled over the platform, whistling through the tracks. I heard a soft flapping sound overhead. A bat? I glanced up to the platform roof, but it was too dark to see. "I'll bet we're the only kids ever to see the beast like this," Ashley said softly. That's like, that tone of that is like in the Goonies, like the weird what the fuck am I ranting about? Let's get on track, I'm sorry. She walked over to the first car and climbed inside. "Ashley, what do you think you're doing?" I cried out in alarm. "If we're going to wait for the ghost, we might as well get comfortable," she replied. She scooted over, making room for me. "Come on, James." She patted the seat. "No, thanks," I told her, staying back from the tracks. "I'd rather stand." "Come on, sit down," she urged. "We can pretend we're roaring over the tracks." "I don't like to pretend," I insisted. "I'm too old to pretend." I heard the flapping sound overhead again. It had to be a bat. With a shudder, I let my eyes follow the dark tracks. They rolled out straight for a while before beginning their steep climb. "When do you think the ghost will come out?" Ashley asked, leaning over the safety bar. "There's no ghost," I muttered for the 100th time. "This is one bet I'm going to win." "We'll see," Ashley replied. "You sure you want to sit down?" I started to reply, but stopped when I heard the loud clanking sound. The clanking grew louder. The tracks groaned. "Hey," Ashley cried out. I gaped, frozen with horror as the roller coaster cars started to move. "Help me," Ashley called from the front of the first car. "James, help." Chapter 9. Oh no! I uttered a choked cry as I stared at the cars clanking over the tracks. The cars were starting to pick up speed. In a few seconds, they would make it past the platform, and so would Ashley. I saw that she had climbed to her feet and was struggling to climb out. James, help! Forgetting my fear, I started to run after her, my sneaker slapping the concrete platform. The empty cars clattered noisily as they bounced over the tracks. Could I get to her in time? A few feet from the platform edge, I reached out with both hands. She grabbed them. I tugged and pulled her from the car as it rolled out of sight. We staggered back over the platform, breathing hard. I could hear the empty cars making their climb up the steep first hill of the tracks. Are you okay? I asked Ashley. Her hair was wild around her face. She tugged it back with both hands. I couldn't get out, she stammered. My foot was caught and... We both could hear the empty cars rolling above us on the dark tracks. The sound of the clattering wheels echoed eerily off the empty platform. Why did the cars start moving? Ashley asked. There's no one around. This is so creepy, James. I looked for the usual excited gleam in her eye, but this time I saw only fear. Hearing another sound, a loud thunk, we turned back to the far end of the platform, and there... Through the shadowy light, dancing in the billowing curtain of fog, we saw a figure bent over the controls. The ghost? So I was just staring at the back of this book, which there's another Star Trek ad. This one's for Deep Space Nine, which I've sadly read a lot of the Star Trek books, but these little shitty ones. But I just saw someone filled in their information that owned the book for the Beast sweepstakes. Okay, it says you could win a chance to ride the Beast. So the Beast was something, and there is King's Island. That's a real place, apparently. I have no idea where it is. Let's see. This is really interesting, actually. Bear with me for a second. Sorry, people. So Paramount Parks actually had the Beast. The first prize in this is a trip to the King's Island, home of the Beast. Second prize is single-day admissions for a Paramount Park. And then 25 people won an autographed copy of The Beast, which I would be very appreciative if someone bought me on eBay. But it is really, really interesting to me. Whoever owned this book was, I'm not going to say their name, but I will try to track them down on Facebook. They filled in all their information. So that it's someone named Anne. Let's just say Anne M. from New Berlin, Wisconsin. Her birthday is, one day after mine in 1982. I was born in 86, though. I'm going to try to track her down at the end of this episode, so bear with me, and I'll jump on Facebook and see what's going on. Anyway, that's really interesting. Chapter 10. Ashley grabbed my arm. Her hand was so cold. It was cold as ice. She was willing to sacrifice like foreigner. Staring across the long, mist-covered platform, we saw him. Even in the dim light, we could make him out clearly. His white beard, his long white hair hanging down over his shirt collar. He wore big, old-fashioned looking overalls over a black, long-sleeve sweater. His hands were on the control levers. His head was lowered in concentration. He hadn't seen us. Could he have seen us? I suddenly wondered. I've read a lot of science fiction stories. If he were a ghost from another dimension, I knew he might not be able to see us or communicate with us. He might live in a totally different world. But then, how did he get the roller coaster cars to run? I asked myself. Ashley was still gripping my arm. I had to pull her hand away. She was squeezing so hard, she was hurting me. I think I just won my bet, she stammered, staring straight at the white-bearded ghost. Let's get out of here, I whispered. I turned to start down the ramp, but Ashley didn't follow. I glanced back to see her frozen in place. What the hell? Oh. No, it's cool. I almost died. Wow, that was... yeah. All right. Oh. Yeah, other podcasts don't do that. They would edit that out, but not this one. I glance back to see her frozen in place, her hands tensed into tight fists, her eyes wide with fright. "Ashley, come on!" I called in a loud whisper, and then I saw the ghost raise his eyes from the controls. He saw Ashley first, then me. He stood up quickly, dropping his hands from the levers. He slid out from behind the control box and took a step toward us.
"Come here,"
he boomed.
Chapter 11 means I'm not going to go on a rant about nothing in front of it.
I swallowed hard. "Ashley, let's go," I cried. She didn't move. She stared straight ahead at the white-haired ghost as if she were hypnotized or something.
"Come here,"
he repeated in his deep, booming voice.
"Both of you."
The command echoed off the platform walls. I hesitated at the top of the ramp. I wanted to run, but I knew I couldn't leave Ashley alone. "Ashley, please," I pleaded. But I saw her begin to move toward the ghost.
"Come over here,"
the ghost commanded again, waving both hands. I took a deep breath and followed Ashley. A loud clatter startled both of us. It took me a short while to see that it was the empty roller coaster cars returning from their trip.
"How did you kids get in here?"
the ghost asked. His body shimmered in the fog as if he were part of the mist. As I edged closer, I could see his steel gray eyes, almost silver. They peered at us sharply beneath heavy white eyebrows. He was an old man, but powerfully built. He stood straight and tall like a much younger person. He had a broad chest beneath the overall bib and big, strong-looking hands. He was solid. Too solid to be a ghost, I told myself. Ashley and I were only a few feet away from him now. A gust of wind made his long, white hair flutter. The wind whistled eerily down the dark tracks.
We accidentally got locked in the park, Ashley told him.
He stared at her suspiciously. Then he turned his strange gray eyes on me.
What's your name, son?
James Dickinson, I replied. I pointed to Ashley.
I want to put my Dickinson her. High five, ghost.
She's my cousin, Ashley Franks.
Pleased to meet you, the old man said. I'm P.D. Walters.
He stretched out his hand to shake it with each of us. His hand was warm and dry. It didn't feel like a ghost hand. I was beginning to think that maybe Ashley hadn't won the bet after all.
What does the PD stand for? Ashley asked, studying the old man's face.
Pretty dumb,
he joked. Wow, I did not say that. I would have said, like, pussy dick.
He let out...
That's funny, pussy dick.
He let out a bellowing laugh, then made his massive chest heave up and down.
At least, that's what most folks say.
Then, suddenly, all the humor left his face. His gray eyes lost their sparkle, grew dull and thoughtful. He rubbed the heavy white beard.
You kids are going to get caught, he murmured.
Was it a threat or a warning? I couldn't tell. What do you do here? Ashley asked, ignoring his comment.
Test the cars, he replied, pointing to the train of empty roller coaster cars.
At night? She asked. Petey nodded.
At night.
You mean you work here? I blurted out. My voice sounded strange, tight and shrill.
You might say that.
Petey answered. Have you ever seen a ghost here? Ashley demanded. Suddenly, Petey let out another billowing laugh.
Ha ha ha.
Then he made his way back behind the controls.
He didn't answer Ashley's question, I realized.
So you work here every night? Ashley asked, stepping up in front of the control panel.
Just about,
PD told her. He rested his hands on the two long metal levers that stuck up from the electrical box. He cleared his throat, then raised his eyes to hers.
I've been coming here for over 60 years, he said.
Something in his voice sounded sad to me. Then I remembered something.
Whoa, wait a minute, I said. King's Island hasn't been here for 60 years.
Where the fuck is King's Island?
I know,
Petey replied softly, his eyes dimmed. He frowned.
It's sort of a long story. Also a sad story.
Tell us, Ashley insisted eagerly. Tell us about your pain, old man. Petey leaned his
bulky weight against the platform wall. He motioned for us to come closer. Ashley and I stepped up to the control box. He scratched his white beard slowly, staring first at Ashley, then at me, as if trying to decide to tell his story or not. He cleared his throat again, a low rumble that started deep in his chest.
Before King's Island, there was another park on this same spot, Petey began. It was called Firelight Park. That's because the park was lit by thousands of burning torches.
Wow, Ashley exclaimed. That must have been beautiful. PD nodded solemnly. His eyes watered over. His expression remained sad.
It was beautiful, he said softly. When I was younger, much younger, I thought it was the most beautiful spot on Earth.
And it was right here, where we're standing? I asked, shoving my hands deep into my jeans pockets. The old man nodded.
Many years ago.
The wind ruffled his hair. He gripped the control levers.
When I was young, I spent as much time as I could at Firelight Park. I loved the lights, the exciting rides, the carnival shows. I liked being part of the crowds, the happy crowds.
He sighed, a sad sigh. Then he shut his eyes and remained silent for a moment. The fog seemed to circle around him in the dim light. His white hair and beard shimmered like wisps of cloud around his solemn, wrinkled face.
Nothing beautiful lasts, he murmured softly, opening his gray eyes. One horrible night, it was all gone.
Ashley and I stared at him. His eyes became as dull as the fog. His broad shoulders slumped forward. What happened? I asked.
Tornado, Petey muttered. Came without warning. A violent tornado. It swept over the park. It toppled the torches. Thousands of torches. In minutes, the entire park was ablaze.
He shook his head sadly, his eyes focused far away, remembering.
People died, he continued. Hundreds of people died that night. In minutes, the park was gone. Gone forever.
I swallowed hard. Were you there? I asked. Were you there the night the tornado did its tornadoing? Yeah, good save, Dune. Petey nodded.
Oh, yes, he replied, sighing. I was there. June 15th, 1931. It isn't a date I shall ever forget.
Ashley and I exchanged glances. I was suddenly cold all over. I tried to imagine another amusement park in another time over 60 years ago on this very spot, a park filled with the light of thousands of flickering torches. I tried to imagine how it could disappear forever in one swoop of a tornado, but it was too frightening to think about. Petey's voice broke through the chill air.
Now I work here at night, he said quietly, testing the beast.
Suddenly, his expression changed. A thin smile formed on his lips. His gray eyes lit up. He pointed to the empty roller coaster cars.
Want a ride?
Huh? Ashley and I hesitated.
Maybe we should get going, I said.
But it would be fucking awesome, Ashley exclaimed, riding the beast at night through the fog. This only comes... this only one's... The only ones on the entire ride?
Go ahead. Climb in,
Petey urged. He raised his hands on the long control levers.
Go ahead. I'll give you a good ride.
Creepy.
Ashley, I don't think we should, I pleaded. I really think...
I stopped when I saw the beams of yellow light moving toward us. Flashlights flickering over the pavement, approaching the ramp. At least four or five of them. Security guards. They found us. I stammered, we're caught. PD. Huh. Either way, I guess. I pointed to the front car.
Quick. Jump in, he said. Hurry.
I can't wait to look this broad up on Facebook and tell her I'm reading her stupid book. Maybe she's dead. Chapter 12. Ashley and I took off for the empty car. I could see the flashlights darting closer. The yellow fog lights cut through the thick
The yellow fog lights cut through the thick fog like lasers. Behind the lights, I could see the shadowy figures of the guards. I reached the cars first and dived into the front seat. With a breathless cry, Ashley scrambled in behind me. "Hey, stop! Hey, stop!" I heard a guard shout. "Stop them!" another guard cried. As the safety bar slammed down, I could hear the pounding footsteps of the guards as they moved towards us. But then, the footsteps were drowned out by the clattering wheels as our car pulled away. We bumped along the track. Ashley and I bounced hard, gripping the safety bar with both hands. Bright lights invaded my eyes, blinding me for a moment. "There they are!" I heard a guard shout. Sorry. "There they are!" I heard a guard shout. "Stop them! Stop that ride!" another guard cried. The bright lights rolled over Ashley and me, and then disappeared. "Whoa!" I shouted as the car tilted up, tossing me back against the seat. "We're climbing!" Ashley cried. "This is so cool!" Up, up we climbed through the darkness. I waited for my eyes to adjust. The yellow glare of the guards' flashlights lingered in my eyes. The car creaked as it climbed, pressing us back against the seats. Gazing up, I saw nothing but fog blanketing the sky. "We got away!" Ashley shouted happily. "James, we got away! This is totally awesome!" We may have gotten away, but only for a few minutes. When the ride ended, the guards would be waiting for us on the platform. I started to remind Ashley of this fact, but before I could get a word in, we reached the top of the steep hill. The car went roaring straight down over the dark tracks. Yai! We both were screaming our heads off now. It was the most amazing feeling, plunging through the darkness, all alone, just the two of us, in love. The car swung sharply and tilted hard, tossing us together. Then we bounced hard up the sharp incline. The car then straightened out and picked up speed. I gripped the safety bar and stared out at the dark trees as they flashed by. Limbs poked out of the fog like bony black arms. Clouds of fog floated over the tracks. The wind rushed at my face, cool and wet. We both screamed as we plunged into a low tunnel. Then we shot out. The fog appeared thicker, heavier. It seemed to wrap itself around us, move with us. We were part of the fog, swirling, floating, and spinning around the tracks. Ashley became a dim shadow beside me. We were both dim shadows now. Shadows inside of shadows. Even shadows have shadows. Oh, poor, that was an idea quote. The idea's dead now. It's really sad. Don't do opiates, seriously. Anyone, just don't. That's really not cool. Shadows inside of shadows, plunging through the wind, through the heavy, wet wind, through the pulsing, throbbing darkness. The ride would end soon, I knew. But I didn't know what awaited us. I couldn't know the terror at the end of the tracks. Chapter 13. This is actually the last chapter I think I'll be reading today, so... All right. The car slowed, then rolled to a stop. Ashley and I sat without moving for a moment, breathing hard, waiting for the dizziness to fade. I turned to the flat platform, expecting to see bright flashlights and the dark figures behind the lights. But the platform lay dark and empty. "Hey, they're gone," I whispered. "The guards, they're not here," Ashley asked breathlessly. We stood up and climbed out of the car. Ashley was pushing back her thick hair with both hands. My legs felt kind of wobbly, but my head was clear. I gazed down the long, dark platform and realized that the fog had disappeared. "Hey!" I cried out, startled. "Ashley, look!" I pointed up to a sky full of twinkling stars. "Huh?" She didn't catch on at first. "How did the fog lift so fast?" I demanded. "A few seconds ago, it was so thick we couldn't see." Ashley shook her head. "I don't get it. Where's Petey?" I was so startled that no guards were waiting for us, so surprised to stare up at the clear sky that I'd forgotten all about him. I turned toward the control panel at front of the platform. "Petey?" No one there. The control box stood in darkness. Ashley and I gazed up and down the platform. We were the only ones there. "Weird," she muttered. I suddenly heard music, very faint, floating over the soft night air. Ashley heard it too. "It sounds like someone playing an organ," she said.
The park is closed, I reminded her. Who would be playing music now? Let's check it out, she said. We made our way off the platform and through the exit area. As we walked, the music grew louder. Over the music, I could suddenly hear voices, laughter, kids shouting. What is going on? I cried. We made our way through a narrow gap in a wooden fence and stepped into a bright, crowded scene. Flickering torches on tall poles marked both sides of a wide boardwalk. I saw a row of low game booths, brightly painted signs, food stands, long lines of people. But it all looked different. It all was totally changed. The park, the people, everything. James, Ashley cried, grabbing the sleeve of my t-shirt. This isn't King's Island. It's weird. Where are we? She gripped my sleeve tight as we both gaped in amusement. Where are we, James? Ashley repeated shrilly. Where are we? All right, that concludes part one of The Beast on Dune Reads Goosebumps, or Dune Reads books written by R.L. Stine during the same time period that aren't technically Goosebumps, that are actually advertising devices for a ride at some amusement park that I didn't know existed. I'm going to go look this broad up on Facebook. Hold up one second.
All right, I tried to look her up and failed, so never mind, forget it. Yeah, she might have gotten married, you know, since then. She's, what, 5 years older than me, did I say? No. 4 years younger? Or 4 years older? God damn it, I can't even do math. Anyway, sorry, couldn't find her. I have her book now. She wrote all over. She wrote Scary. And, I don't know. Can't wait to finish the, part two. I will hopefully be... continue being consistent with these, and hopefully doing Giovanni's show again soon, because that's my favorite podcast. And until then, let's hope I don't get arrested for this ever, because that would not be fun. Well, you know the sign off. Stay spooky, bitches.